Hey everyone, I am Seg, and this is We Are Race Night Episode 5. Joining me shortly will be Slowbird and Jugnuts, but I want to make a few notes real quick here. I actually had issues with this episode, in fact my recorder didn't record it at all, so I actually had to work off Slowbird's recording. Thankfully he recorded it, otherwise there would be no episode this week. Please do note though that because Slowbird joined us a few minutes in, some of the conversation between Jugnuts and I are lost. Is lost. Are lost? Is lost. I don't know. Regardless, do be aware that that's sort of why this episode begins abruptly beyond this introduction. Which actually is kind of how the episode begins. Never mind that. Anyways, we discussed Forza 4 and Dirt 3. However, this was done before E3 on Sunday. So, you won't be hearing anything new that we just heard from E3. We'll discuss that in the next episode, which is probably going to come out next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, as Dan Greenwalt and the Forza team start talking more about what's going into 4. Also, I do want to mention real quick here that we were in a big rush for this. This was recorded right before Dirt 3 Race Night, to the point that at the end you will hear us literally 2 minutes away from making it to Dirt 3 Race Night, that we had to end the podcast and just quickly turn on our Xbox 360s and join the fray. So, yeah, it was kind of awkward in a few ways like that. Regardless, this is going to be posted to you unedited. Basically, I'm just going to adjust the volume a little bit since my quality here in saying this to you is a lot better than on Skype. But I do hope you enjoy, and if you have any comments, please do not hesitate. Do not hesitate to send them to giantbombforza@gmail.com. And that said, I'm now going to be joined by Slowbird and Jugnuts for episode 5 of We Are Race Night. Enjoy.
Infamous,
I guess. Slowbird.
Yes.
How you doing, sir?
I promise not to mention any IndyCar things.
Well, we'll talk about that near the end of the show so we can go out yelling at each other for that.
Oh, all right, even better.
But we are right now talking about Forza 4, E3 tomorrow. Are you excited?
As excited as I could ever be.
Excellent. But yeah, I don't know if there's... I'm very interested to hear about this car club functionality that is supposed to be in Forza 4. I really hope that it is everything they're saying with sharing skins of cars, maybe sharing cars, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. And on that note, just in case any, you know, Giant Bomb staffers happen to listen to this, gotta let us start the car club for that and
absolutely
represent Giant Bomb.
Yep, we have to represent the Giant Bomb because, I mean, let's face it, I like Jeff Gerstmann, I like all the guys there, but they're not going to have the time to do that, and you don't want just some random scrub who does not love the Forza coming in and doing that for you.
Yeah. And as the longest, you know, running race night or any gathering possibly of that nature anyways,
yeah,
right?
We actually are the longest running. I think it's a year and a half now, and the next closest one is actually TNT.
We're the only maniacs. We're the only maniacs crazy enough to play one game for over a year and a half.
Yeah, and exactly. I should say, I don't say scrubs in a really demeaning way. I'm just saying, you know, anyone else who'd want to start that club, they have not had the commitment we have had, so, you know.
They can join the club, but
they can join us, yeah. I mean, we would welcome anybody with open arms as long as they don't steal our cars. Even if they do steal our cars, I mean, Falcon is probably going to be welcome there.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Below the belt.
Maybe.
Ah! Okay.
Maximum trolling.
But also, it's very likely they've been really pumping this Top Gear connection with Forza. It's almost certain we're going to see some glimpses of one of the Top Gear test tracks, whether it's North American or the classic European version.
As long as we don't have to drive Volkswagen buses.
Oh, God. Do you even think those are going to be in the game?
I hope not.
I highly doubt it.
I have my doubts, too. I mean, that's more Gran Turismo Forte to bring all the cars that somebody could ever possibly have from their childhood into it, the game, and that's sort of been Kazunori Yamauchi's whole fascination. You know, start off somebody with a car that they really wanted or that they had in their childhood and let them get those dinky little cars and then build up to the big Japan GTs and prototypes and F1 cars.
Yeah, something I've been thinking of, just along the lines of things that I'd like to see in Forza 4, which would be great in any racing game, which I hear that they're bringing to F1 2011, which we could touch on a little bit later, is co-op championships or co-op career mode. If they could bring something like that as well, that would just knock me right out of my seat.
So basically like a constructor's championship type of thing for any racing game.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. Or at the very least, you know, the ability to compete against or with, I guess. I mean, it could be a competitive thing as well, you know. Either have someone on the same, you know, team as you as you're driving your way through the single player, as it were, you know, towards that championship and gaining level 50 or whatever the maximum is in Forza 4. I think that'd be something that's great.
Yeah.
I'd be very interested in that, and especially if you made ladder... Let's admit something right now, that Forza 3 is multiplayer. If you don't know people to get around or get along with and get into games with, it wasn't necessarily one of the better multiplayers for that purpose, because you couldn't customize a lot of things. Later on, it had a pretty decent playlist of events that would change over time, but before then, there were some definite lacking parts of the multiplayer.
It was a step back.
It was a bit of a step back. I understand why they didn't want to have just customizable races, because inevitably it turns into ovals and any cars you want, which was an issue with Forza 2. But it'd be interesting if they brought some sort of ladder gameplay where you pick certain cars and that sort of thing, and maybe, I'm almost thinking like a StarCraft thing, if we're talking Constructors' Championship, have a thing for solo, and then if you get a certain teammate, have a rank with them build up.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll be honest, I've actually never stepped foot in one of the public lobbies just because I don't like giving up control of what I'm racing on and who I'm racing with necessarily. So I'm definitely, I guess, very grateful for the Giant Bomb Race Night because of the fact that we can bring a great group of guys together and have consistent racing and not have to worry about random duders, you know, screwing up with our racing.
Right. I think one of the things that actually slightly does benefit Forza 3 is that the control you do give up isn't that much, because it's all basically similar to ranked lobbies in that the game chooses the cars, the modes, and nobody can really alter them other than to veto a track.
Yeah.
That's fine. In Forza 2, it really was bad, because you would give up full control to whoever the host was.
Yeah, one thing that would be nice if they brought over from Blur, I think it was, where you bring up two tracks and you could vote for one or the other, or two tracks
like that,
combo.
Yeah.
Yeah, or maybe a game mode combo or something like that.
Absolutely.
I think that would be an awesome addition.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I also kind of like the way Dirt 3 does this, sort of peeling it over towards the next conversation topic, but I also like when you get in like hardcore mode or any playlist like that. At first, it does two vetoes, and it's not like Forza 3 where somebody has to start a vote in the first place. It just flat out says, okay, I know you're going to have a vote at one point. Do you want to veto the type of racing we're going to do here? And if you don't want to do that, do you want to veto the track we're at? And it gives you about 10 seconds to deal with either.
Yeah, it separates it out so you can like say, yeah, I do want to race these cars, but not at this track.
Exactly.
And that's basically your waiting time right there, too. So it's not so much you're waiting around and some guy's always bringing up the veto button because he's being a dick or just wants to race one specific thing over and over again.
Yeah, they hit you hard. They get you going into the next race real quick. Like,
yeah,
Forza 3's wait time is a little slow.
It is a little slow, and during that time, this guy's bringing up probably 2 to 3 votes if you got that sort of veto horde.
Yeah, they vote with like 5 seconds to go, and then you don't even know what you're gonna be doing when the race loads because you didn't get a chance to see it before the timer ran out.
Right. But on that note, we had our first Dirt 3 race night last week, and we're about to have our second one this week. And
was it really just the first?
We had a couple of mini.
Sure, it was the second.
We had a couple of mini ones.
We had mini ones. They weren't official. They weren't broadcast. That's the delineation I'm putting in here.
We played a bunch on launch night, launch day, and then we played some. A couple of us played after the Forza race night because they launched some DLC.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was pretty good. The Colin McRae Vision Rally Pack, which for $2 or 160 Microsoft points. You could basically get, I think it was a Ford Escort Mark II, was it?
That's right.
Oh my god, I actually remembered a Ford model. I'm very surprised to myself.
in 4 liveries, I believe?
Yeah.
4 or 5 liveries, yeah, something like that. And all for that Ford Escort Mark II, but still, that's very nice to pick from, and the car handles very nicely.
Yeah, it really fleshes out that 70s rally group, because there was only two cars in there before.
Yeah, there was a Fiat and an Opel, I believe.
Right.
And the Fiat 131 Abarth and the Opel Cadet something something.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, that's not much of a pack. I imagine that's probably why they were saving the Ford Escort so they could get some money for charity, which
right.
All the proceeds from that pack go to Colin McRae Vision, which I guess helps kids in sports or rally or entertainment or something. I'm not sure.
It trains children to be helicopter pilots. And to use weapons so they can fight off Ken Block and keep him from killing them in their helicopters.
The Ken Blockosaurus? It's going to attack?
Yes. Yeah. It's like Truckosaurus, except it says bro more often.
Oh.
In fact, the flames it shoots out, if you look very closely, it's like it's forming the letters B-R and O.
Instead of eating cars, it eats steering wheels, because it crashes a lot and its face flies into the steering wheel a lot, so it learned to eat steering wheels to survive.
It's also fueled by Monster Energy.
And while it's spewing this bro at you, it's doing, you know, donuts around you.
Exactly. Gymkhana bro.
Exactly.
Ghost ride the whip.
You know what? That'd be a really neat stunt to do in Gymkhana. Just get out of the car and start dancing alongside.
That might actually take some skill.
That might. Doing it at 60 miles an hour, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Speed running alongside the car.
Usain Bolt was found dead recently.
So before we fully trans over to Dirt 3, I did have two more things that I wanted to get your guys' input on the Forza 4 stuff.
Yeah, let's get back to that, because I did kind of abruptly get away from that topic.
Yeah, I kind of did.
So
one thing that the videos are kind of hinting at is that there seems like there might be two main modes available to users. A more casual one that's going to have the Kinect mode where you hold your hands up and do the whole, you know, joyride steering wheel thing. And then they're going to have, obviously, the hardcore mode, because they have to have it in there, because that's what the majority of the people that are going to purchase the program or the game are going to want, with the wheels and the controllers and everything along those lines. Do you think they're going to allow those two modes to mix in the gameplay? Like, somebody who's doing that casual mode can race with somebody who's doing hardcore? Or are you thinking they're going to keep that separated? Or what are your just thoughts on that in general?
Honestly, I think they're going to limit it, especially after the reaction from showing that off last year at E3. I think it's going to be limited to that Kinect mode is probably going to be just a bunch of little mini games for people to play. I think you're going to get that mode where you're going down Fujimi Kai, don't have to pass as many cars as possible, and it does all the auto braking and that sort of stuff for you, and acceleration. But I cannot imagine that they're going to just allow somebody to try and take a wheel and drive like normal with the car. That would seem kind of bizarre to me, personally.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they will maybe have that extra stuff for the Kinect, but they will also allow you to play the regular career mode with the Kinect, but they'll just tone down the difficulty a lot.
I mean, I see your point there, Jugnuts. That's actually interesting to think about, because essentially you could just take the hired driver AI, add, you know, in the assists where need be, and give the driver control of the steering through the Kinect movements, and just tell the AI, okay, whatever this jerk does with the wheel, try and recover so he doesn't crash. And you could create a racing bit of experience from that. I'm not sure it'd be good, but you could do that.
We're talking about Kinect here. It won't be good.
No, I've never had any good experience with Kinect when I've tried it out the few times I've attempted to.
It definitely has a lot of potential, but I just don't think it's ideal for racing games.
How about this? You will dance around your car. Kinect Forza Dance Central.
Kinect Ghost Ride the Whip Dance Central 2. Featuring Ken Block and his Russian women.
As long as the chemist with Woohoo, I Got Your Money is in there.
Lost Weekend featuring Mike Patton. Lots of bass.
So, I guess the other thing is, you know, do you think that's going to bring a lot more market, or you think they're going to sell more games because of the fact it has these Kinect offerings? Do you think they're going to get more casual players as a result?
Honestly, I don't think so. To me, it'd be kind of like Gran Turismo trying to draw people in by just having lesser cars and that sort of thing. It's not something that's going to just appeal to the mainstream naturally. It's the name brand Forza itself that's going to eventually end up appealing.
Well, they have to do is slap a Ferrari on the cover, and it'll appeal to most people, I think.
Maybe, and I think what's going to end up actually doing more good for them in that regard is aligning up with Top Gear, because everybody, even if you're not a car fanatic, seems to know a little bit about Top Gear.
Yeah, I'm not sure you're going to get the casual player with a Top Gear on the box. You throw Ken Block on the box, then you'd probably get the casual gamer.
That's true, probably.
Even if he's not in the game in any way, shape, or form.
Actually,
Sean White.
Or Sean, there you go.
Sean
you
White,
go.
Forza 3, Forza 4.
Yeah, change here. That Microsoft, you're gonna have to change the cover art.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, bro, dude, donuts are on the Target test track. It's just a big Target logo.
Sean White drive boarding, featuring Alan Wake.
Use the Tony Hawk skateboard.
Oh God.
God. I've just had horrible ideas.
I think that could work if you use the left and right sides of the skateboard as the gas and brake in conjunction with the Kinect. It could work.
Doesn't work. I know it doesn't work. I've seen it.
We will rebuild it. We will make it stronger.
We will waste our money on stupid peripherals.
Buy a racing wheel.
Yeah. Oh, God, don't buy a racing wheel.
I'm going to buy one.
Okay, buy a racing wheel.
But you have to find a place to mount it.
That's right.
Table tray.
Oh. Doesn't work very well.
No. Cardboard box.
No.
So anyways, so the last point I wanted to, or thing I wanted to get your guys' opinion on, and even just to see if you've even heard this, I've seen on the intertubes that, and I didn't hear this anywhere officially, but people are saying that F1 cars are going to be included in Formula 4, in Forza 4. Have you guys heard anything about that?
That's new. I don't know anything about that.
I've heard rumors. I think there's always been sort of rumblings in that regard, because GT3 made that huge jump in that regard, and
yeah,
they were quiet about it until they actually showed it off. Or I think actually back then the internet was new enough that somebody actually had to discover it in the game, and it wasn't a PR leak of any sort. But in this case, Forza, I know the reason they haven't done it in the past is because they don't actually display the suspension models. That's why they don't have any open-wheel cars, including the Ariel Atom. If you don't show the suspension, they have never had it in their engine where they can, then it makes it very hard.
Well, so I'd imagine they'll be able to now, because they have all that extra detail in there with the Kinect anyway, with the Kinect viewing of your car.
Part of this whole Hollywood effects that they've added includes maybe showing off the suspension within the car and that sort of thing. And if they've done that, even if it's only in possible open-wheel cars like the Ariel Atom, then that always opens the door for them to do some sort of open-wheel cars, be they IRL or
Caterhams.
Yeah, or Caterhams or Kart, or hopefully some sort of Formula One, even if it's the same Williams model that they gave out to pretty much every sim game way back when.
R-Factor.
Yes. Yeah, speaking of cars I'd like to see, Caterham would definitely be one of them.
You and me both. That is a lovely, lovely car that's dangerous as hell to drive.
Dune buggy.
I'd be fine with that, except they're not exactly meant for on-road activities.
Forza 4 will have dirt racing.
Yeah, say first DLC pack, a dune.
No, you'll be able to drive across the sands of the... oh, wait, that's a PSN game.
I was going to say drive across the sands of Sedona.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I was going to say you could drive across that PSN Journey game, but that's obviously not going to happen.
Oh, I haven't even read up on that yet.
You just go through, you wander around in the desert till you find some stuff, I think.
Ah, okay.
Sounds exhilarating.
See,
totally irrelevant.
I really want to believe that the F1 could happen or the Indy cars could happen, but I don't think they're going to happen just yet. Although I'm willing to be surprised. It seems like that's not been their focus this year. It's just improve what we had, add interactivity where we can, show off Top Gear, profit.
Yeah, and let's be honest, they already have a really strong offering, so they just need to add, you know, unfortunately, it kind of is like the COD model, there's nothing broken necessarily, so as long as they add just a few more new things, people are going to buy it.
Yeah.
So we can always hope for, you know, many, many things, but they probably know at this point that they've got the core audience hooked hardcore, so they just need to add, you know, sprinkle a little few more seasonings on top of that, and we're going to buy the next one.
I think it's kind of interesting, too, is that as GT5 came out, I imagine that was kind of a sigh of relief for the Forza devs, Turn 10.
Oh, yeah.
Because that GT5 had the potential to blow them out of the water and force their hand to really get to the next rendition to make it good, whereas GT5 just more stacks up against Forza 3 as an equal. And from there, it's just basically, okay, let's find the things that GT5 did better that we can interact with. Some of the social stuff, I guess, was better, which would include car sharing.
And
they had 16, I think they have 12 to 16 players available. I think it's 12.
depending on the type of racing, I think kart race, like go-karts, can have more.
Okay, okay.
Possibly. At least in the single player, they do have up to 16.
But you open up the multiplayer like that, and you add little functionalities like that, and you're essentially, Forza 4 is just upping the bar so they get that feeling where they can say, yeah, we've blown Gran Turismo out of the water, finally.
Right.
And whether that's entirely true or not, I don't know, but it's going to sell probably quite a few copies because of that and everything. I'm hoping.
All they have to do is don't take out any of the cars that were in Forza 3's DLC.
I think it seems that the trend they've done is Forza 2 DLC moves on to Forza 3 as standard content.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we got Twin Ring Motegi, that's where we got Road America. Imagine the Nürburgring GP will be standard in Forza 4, and I'm sure a lot of the cars, if not all of them, are going to be standard and part of a bigger Disc 2 install disc on Forza 4.
Yeah, I really hope so.
Yeah, and speaking of Nürburgring GP, I hope the rest of the tracks in Forza 4 feel like Nürburgring GP does, because it just seems to be on a whole other level as far as like the feel of the track. It seems like for some reason with that DLC, they just took more time in getting the various bumps and the nuances of that track into the game.
Yeah, it's like they had the better advantage of having like better laser scanning or something, because it really feels like a proper road there that has maybe not been resurfaced like it should have been recently. With especially as you can feel the road warp as you get closer to turns, as if it's been warped through heavy braking over years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, it's both a pain, but it's also quite delightful when you know that somebody else could mess a turn up pretty bad because they're not expecting those little bumps there, or maybe they're being a little too brave.
I was going to say, you know, all tracks are not perfect. We know that. You know, you watch any kind of motorsports, and you always hear them complaining about certain areas of specific tracks that all have issues.
Absolutely.
And they haven't been conveying that so far in racing games, really, so it'd be nice if they could incorporate that a little bit better in the next installment of Forza.
Man has not yet mastered the roads. One day we will soon learn to dominate them, but until then, the asphalt is uncontrollable.
I would like to see gravels being tossed onto the road, and you know, like if someone drives into the gravel and then comes back on, there's like loose gravel on the road, and it could cause the people behind to slide a little bit.
I'd be very surprised to see that, but it would be.
I don't think it's coming soon, but I really want to see that.
You could see something like that, maybe not with actually putting gravel spots in the road, but one thing I could imagine they could do in Forza 4 relatively easily is change the tire profile so that if you go into the grass or the dirt or something like that, when you get back on the road, you still have to deal with a bit of slipperiness, as you still got grass and dirt stuck on your tires, like in real life.
Yep, yeah, and Codemasters has done that in the F1 games, so it's been done.
It was done. I remember first seeing that in Live for Speed. That really was a shock, because you'd get people who think they were hot shots, go off on a turn, come back on, and then it's spinning out in the next turn because they unexpectedly started braking at their usual point, and no sir, you've still got gravel on your tires. You're going off again.
Yeah. Speaking of Codemasters, Dirt 1 was on sale yesterday.
Dirt 1 was on sale yesterday, and it runs on my computer like shit, even after I fixed it for Windows 7.
There's a thread I saw that said there was something about the audio that was causing lag and slowdowns, and maybe you could fix it with that.
I don't think it's that, because it actually did speed up a bit once I turned all the settings down to their lowest.
Yeah.
It's just the fact my computer is not equipped for HD gaming. It was equipped for 1024 by 768, and we have since moved on quite a bit past that with LCD monitors and all that sort of stuff they've brought along.
Yeah, that's the problem. My monitor is too big for my my video card.
Sad but true.
Isn't 1024 by 768 technically HD, though?
It's like,
I don't think so. I think
It's just D.
Yeah,
it's just HQ.
It might be. I don't know. I don't know which of the resolution numbers is the. If you know more about this, send us an email at giantbombforza@gmail.com.
We'd love to hear all about your monitor knowledge.
Yeah, I really don't know. I'm clueless about that sort of thing. But Dirt 3, gentlemen.
Yes, Dirt 3. I will be back in 5 seconds. Continue on, please.
We will do that.
Dirt 3. Yes.
You were playing Dirt 3 Race Night with us last week.
I was.
We were playing it with, actually, Jugnuts and we're doing that right after Forza Race Night last Thursday.
Yep.
And I have to say, it does rally very well.
It does. It doesn't have some of the things that the first Dirt had, like damage, but that carried over between stages.
Here's something that kind of fascinated me. I'm thinking about this now as I've played Dirt 1 a little bit. I started off on the hill climb.
Yeah.
Because naturally, first thing you want to do in something like that is go to Pike's Peak and race up as fast as you can.
Yeah.
So I get an FTO, and I start running up, and I screw up real bad.
Yeah.
And we're talking about bad to the point where it blows the radiator.
Ooh.
And so, not only does it say that, but all of a sudden, Travis Pastrana, I assume the voiceover is in that game.
Yes,
he is. Comes on and says, "Oh man, your radiator's gone. Your engine's soon to follow." And so I'm thinking, okay, so he probably means any more hits and my engine will go. But then I pause the game for an unrelated purpose, and I see the engine's at like 62%.
Right.
And there's like 12 variables there, no less, too, for the damage, which is really neat. And then I pause, I go up the hill a bit more, and I decide, okay, I'm going to pause again and see what it says. I pause, 58% engine. I didn't do any other damage to it. It slowly was destroying itself.
Yep, that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. So my engine was slowly overheating and ripping itself to shreds, and I had to work towards trying to stem that basically by finishing as quickly as I could, because otherwise the engine was dead.
Yep, and then when you get to the next... When you get to the next service area, you have to repair whatever you can within the time limit and maybe take a penalty to get everything repaired that you need to repair.
Which is completely realistic. That's how rally is. I mean, not hill climbs, that's really, because hill climbs are one straight shot up, pretty much.
Right. But I completely forgot about that until I bought it again, and I kind of missed that.
I think there's a few sacrifices along the way that Dirt Series has made since they've transitioned away from the Colin McRae Rally name, that they really could have stood to just leave in there, even if it was just sort of a really hardcore mode. You know, if I slam against a barrier or something like that and try and recover, you know, have my radiator slowly, you know, go away. So, you know, if I end up smoking on the side of the road, so be it.
Right.
I don't know. It's... Dirt 3, there's a lot it does right. A lot it does very, very right. The racing feels nice and solid. Maybe a little grippy at points, but that's not to complain because it makes it a lot more accessible and interesting.
Yeah, I think it's just there's a fine line that you have to walk there. You know, obviously you have to make it playable enough that enough people are going to buy it, but at the same time, there are those people that want that hardcore rally experience, and so they have to try and get the best of both worlds in there. And like you said, I think Codemasters did a hell of a job with this iteration of it. And you know, maybe in the future we'll see some more. But I mean, it's definitely playable. It's enjoyable, as you know, we've said several times by now. You know,
yeah.
And the multiplayer is solid.
The multiplayer is very solid. I especially like the hardcore mode you can have in Pro Tour, the ranked matches, where the HUD is forced off, all assists are forced off, in-car mode is forced on, and it's just go.
And that is a different experience. It's for some reason, not having that HUD there just makes it so much different. I'm not sure why that is.
I think it's more that we've gotten so much information over time with video games. You expect the HUD to be there, always information. You use it as sort of, I don't want to say it this way, but I'm going to anyways. You use it as sort of a crutch in games. You know, you don't remember off the top of your head how many laps you've run. You just look up in the left, right, or the upper left corner, mm-hmm. and there it is. You don't think about how fast you've been running or how far behind you are. You usually just rely on it to be somewhere on the screen.
Yeah, and obviously some of that information is conveyed in a real-life cockpit in other ways. I mean, obviously, you can read the speedo and the tach, you know, easier when you're actually in the car. And in some cases, you know, you do have track information, you know, what your lap time is or what lap you're on. Typically not what lap you're on, but you're going to have, you know, what gear you're in, those other things. So you expect some of that because it's just stuff you would find.
I go back to, like, NASCAR racing 2003 or, you know, all those Papyrus sim games where the guy would come on the radio and tell you, how you know, oh, two laps to go, one lap to go.
Oh, yeah. Which, yeah, definitely.
It's kind of helpful.
Yeah, in those, though, that's very realistic. In Rally, you don't have that man to rely on so much. You have your co-driver, and that is it. Usually, I guess in WRC it might be different, although Dirt 3 doesn't really portray a WRC level of competition.
No.
That you don't have that guy in your ear all the time telling you what your status is, how far behind you are on people, and that sort of thing. It's just you and the road until you get to the next service station and somebody can tell you, hey, we tried looking the computers in. It looks like you're doing okay.
Yeah, I think in a rally situation, in reality, I don't think you would want to know how far or ahead you are behind somebody, because I think you would lose concentration. So, you know, getting that important information about what corner's coming up next and how fast you need to take it or what gear you need to be in is really all you need. You don't want to know all that other extra stuff.
Right, and I guess that sort of, I've heard they convey that, I mean, they have helicopters following the rally cars they're used to back in, you know, yeah. WRC. So I guess it's that level of driver that actually gets that, but everyone lower, no, they don't get that kind of information. It's just, yeah, it can be a hindrance, especially since rally is such a focus-oriented sport.
Yeah, Ken Block. Focus.
Not good. Yeah. Ken not Block doesn't have focus, but then again, Ken Block's not very good at the rally portion of rally.
Ken Block used to have a focus.
God damn it, Slowbird.
Now he has a Fiesta.
Arriba. Okay. Whee. There is one thing I do want to talk about, though. I think it was a couple days back, probably Tuesday-ish or so, recording
it's
on
Tuesday.
A Sunday. I should say, in case I take a few days to put this out. If you didn't realize from me talking about the day before Microsoft's E3 press conference. But I finally got all the way through 100% on the single-player campaign of Dirt 3.
Fanfare, yay!
It sort of got me thinking, though.
Nice job, Sebastian Loeb.
I mean, that's how I did it. I went difficulty 2 in the races because I just couldn't stand... I have issues with computer AI. I don't like them. I don't like racing against them.
I love racing against them.
I perceive it more as a waste of time and use single player's training for myself rather than competition against the AI. But that's just personal preference. I did platinum the DC challenges, which don't change on difficulty, so...
Ugh.
There is that. They can be a pain.
But yes, they can.
Regardless, it's... I like Dirt 3, and I want to reiterate that before I go into this. But I can't help but feel a little disappointed at the way the season progresses over the years. Or over the 4 seasons they give you. It doesn't really give you a sense of accomplishment by the time you reach the end. And... it starts off pretty good. You get these really short events, and you finish the first season by going through Gymkhana training for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first time you ever experience that in the game. You get taught by Ken Block, you learn that stuff, and you move on. The second season is pretty good as well. You enter the X Games, you get into the LA Coliseum tracks, which you have never experienced before, I don't believe. At least I don't remember racing them before then. And...
that sounds right.
You know, it's a new experience, and here you are. You've stepped up to the ability to get to the LA Coliseum and race there. But then the 3rd and 4th season arrive, and nothing new happens there. I'm supposed to be entering the Winter X Games. I've already raced these tracks anywhere from 6 to 12 times before,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just racing the same tracks again, and all of a sudden, hooray, I've won the Winter X Games. All it took was a few more laps, I guess. And then the 4th season, the DC Super Series, which is a no-name series in real life, unlike the X Games and Winter X Games. And all it basically is okay, let's do everything you've done in the game before, except now you do it really long time. You know, all the 4 stages, one from each area, which that's also a problem because there's only, you know, 4 areas or so for each type of discipline.
Yeah. No, it's completely different. Instead of racing in the morning, you're racing in the evening. You know, come on.
Ugh.
It's, you know, sometimes it does make a difference on some of the rally stages, in all fairness. I mean, some of the daylight and some of the forests is kind of frightening, almost as much as nighttime, because of the way the sun gets through the trees.
It's just pretty bad when you can do a rally and all 4 stages, you recognize this one turn in as being in all of them. It's just, they're all just the variations on the same road.
Well, that's the thing, too, is that you have 4 areas for rally, and, yeah, they are... pretty much using the same roads, they branch off at different points, and sometimes it's just the same stage, but in reverse.
Yeah.
Now, in real-life rally, that happens. That is sometimes what they do.
Sometimes. Not every single race.
No, I mean, it's not every single race, and that's sort of like SCCA Pro Rally back when that was around, or Rally America. That's sort of that level of competition. But when you're trying to make me feel like I'm supposed to be reaching this WRC level of driver, that isn't really acceptable. I should be driving like 10-mile stages and that sort of thing. I understand, as a developer, that's hard to make. But you're depriving me of that sort of feeling of growth by just putting me through the same tracks, just more of them in one single competition. Instead of three stages, I'm doing four or five.
Even Dirt 2 had, I think, about probably more different stages, or at least the same number, but you didn't repeat them as much. Dirt 1 definitely had more different stages.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I don't really remember seeing as many repeat things in Dirt 2 as I have so far. And granted, I'm nowhere close to the end of Dirt 3 at this point.
Right.
But I remember it being more varied, or it seemed like it anyways, in Dirt 2, and definitely in Dirt 1, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's I really don't want to give Dirt 2 any credit, because I don't like Dirt 2 in its presentation. But it had like 8 to 9 different areas, maybe not including the X Games in that. And I can't remember, I have to think off the top of my head. But you started off rookie, then you went up to pro, and then all-star. So every tier you're going, you're getting more powerful cards, more crazy events. It just, the feeling of growth there was more substantial.
Yeah.
And I think that's something really crucial to any racing game, because it's very easy to go, okay, we're just going to give you every single variation of a track, and now we're going to make you do it more often to win the game and complete the single player.
Four
and
three.
Not give any person a feeling of growth, which it's something I think that racing games have this problem in general. You don't need to create a compelling storyline, but you do need to make the person feel like they've improved over the course of the game.
Right, you got to have that a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean, even from Gran Turismo 1, it came to getting your licenses to eventually racing in supercar series and that sort of thing. Or in Gran Turismo 2, going from that racing dinky little cars around the track to racing Super GT or Japan GT, whatever it was called at the time.
Yeah, and I think part of the problem could be with the way, not just the tracks in Dirt 3, but the fact that they just kind of give you cars, and there's no pomp or circumstance around that as well. It doesn't seem like they really cared so much about the cars, so much as just getting you on the tracks and racing. Like, if they put maybe some more focus on that when you unlock them, or how they're presented, or how, if you even purchase them. I mean, I understand kind of why they went away from the money thing, but it just makes it kind of a non-event when you get cars now in Dirt 3, and so they just they're not the focus, it seems like, in some ways.
I always liked when they have the sponsors and the teams with the different liveries, and it's on multiple cars. I think it would be interesting if they asked you to lock into one of those for a certain stretch of races, and then you'd have to choose your car based on that, and that would force you into different cars, and you'd get a different experience than you had before, perhaps.
And yeah,
they've done that in Grid. Maybe you can talk more on that, Chugnuts. I've not played Grid.
Well, he basically covered it. I mean, that's exactly what they did, is you would lock into a major sponsor for, whatever the contract is for. It could be three races, could be a whole series, could be one race, whatever. And then you had these minor sponsors as well that you would also lock into contracts for, or it may just be a per-race basis. Like I said, it just depends on what the contract is and what you're getting in return. And I thought that was great. It really added to the immersion of the game.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they only did it in Grid, and they didn't carry it on to the other games. I have no idea why.
And that's really bizarre, because that is actually, that's quite realistic compared to real racing. I mean, it's a lot of drivers struggling to find sponsors, and sponsors reluctant to sign with drivers because, I mean, sponsoring people in racing isn't necessarily going to increase sales. You have to find that right exposure. You have to find that right guy willing to support you that people want to get behind and, follow, like a cult of personality.
Yeah.
And minor sponsors even less so, because it's just little stuff. But in Rally, you got main sponsors, and then you got the little contingencies you can have. Yeah. Like, I know that, I forget, there was one of the motor oil companies that if you slap a sticker of ours on the side, we'll give you a couple quarts, and we'll give you more quarts if you win.
And I mean, the other great thing with it in Grid is it changed the way your car looked. I mean, you know, literally, if you chose that sponsor and it was a major sponsor, that's, you know, that's goes across both your, you know, your doors on either side or whatever. And then if you get a minor one, it goes above the wheel wells or whatever. And so you're kind of you're creating your own. It's a dynamic livery, you know, basically as you're going through your career. You know, it changes as you pick up these different sponsors and drop others. And I thought that was just awesome, you know. In Dirt 3, you know, the other thing I guess it's worth mentioning, at least I feel this way, is why would I ever go for the less bonus points on the sponsors? I just immediately go for the one that's worth the most and pick that right away. It doesn't seem like there's any rhyme or reason to that.
Yeah, right. I didn't like the bonus points structure at all.
Yeah, and it just, it really... It encourages you not to be loyal to a single sponsor, even if you want to be. I mean, that's I don't want to get to the point where I have to just jump on Monster because I really just want to level up, damn it. I want to be a guy that's like, okay, you know what? I want to take Koni to the top, KONI.
Yes.
I like their liveries. I like their idea. Or maybe I want to take Yokohama, my pre-order guys, to the top. Or, you know, Kenwood. But I can't do that because it's basically, yeah, I guess they're trying to encourage growth as a driver through sponsorships, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't feel loyal. It doesn't feel like a real driver at all.
On the plus side, you don't really earn anything for getting those bonus points because there's nothing to unlock except more liveries anyway.
I'm not sure that's a positive. I'm not sure we can take a positive from that.
Backhanded compliment.
Yeah, it's kind of backhanded.
On the bright side, this broken thing is only a little bit broken because of this other broken thing.
In the end, it comes down to achievements, basically. Yeah. You hit level 30, you get an achievement, that's it. You don't get even anything special for doing that, which is a downer in itself.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even get anything special for completing the entire series to platinum, except a special message at the end. Hey guys, spoilers on Dirt 3 here. Tune out for a few seconds if you don't want to hear me spoil the ending of Dirt 3. Where basically your entire team comes together and says, wow, your guy has accomplished everything. I wonder what he could accomplish next. I don't know, but he's sure to find out as we find future challenges in the future.
Yeah.
Yay.
That's it. What? That's it.
I just hope that girl calls me Muffin again.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they could have... One thing that they could have done, probably, in my eyes anyways, is they could have... They have this, you know, the Avatar Awards. They could have relocated those. Maybe you get the racing suit if you get platinum and everything or something. It seems like they just kind of give that to you just willy-nilly as well. It doesn't seem like those note any major accomplishments, really. I mean, they kind of do, but there's nothing...
Any chump can achieve those.
Exactly. I mean, they could have saved, like, the best thing, which is either the helmet or the racing suit, I would say, and put that as the end reward. And then, obviously, it would have been more exclusive because you'd have to finish single player. Unless you're Laz and you turn it down to the easiest difficulty and then you can do it easy. But
I think
in all fairness, it was not the easiest difficulty. It was level 2 of 6.
There is a
distinction here. I have standards.
I think that platinuming every event should unlock better teams for you to choose from when you load F1 2011 because you're an elite racing driver and you get a better shot at your first season in F1 now.
That would be interesting.
Cross promotion.
But it would be interesting.
It would be kind of along the lines of what Need for Speed has done with Hot Pursuit and, Shift 2, where if you have played those games and you jump into Shift 2, oh, you've played Hot Pursuit. Well, we're going to give you a couple bonus cards from there.
Yeah.
Although, except more of a standard of, oh, you've performed well in that game. Now we're going to give you something.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, that would be nice.
I just want Codemasters to build their games as sequels to each other so that it's like their one big career mode for your person that you make.
Indeed. Well, gentlemen, we are kind of running.
Which means they'd have to make a NASCAR game eventually.
Yeah. Oh, God.
NASCAR. Yeah, I don't know about that. But we are kind of running short on time here. We only got a couple minutes till we got to run out for Dirt 3 and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. We got a bolt.
Let's talk real quick, because last weekend, actually, well, the weekend before this one, I should say, since we are at the end of a weekend right now, we had kind of an interesting Indy 500 and F1 Monaco race that I think we ought to talk about a little bit.
And NASCAR.
Yeah. And NASCAR was okay.
We don't have to talk about the NASCAR, it was just fuel mileage.
This week's NASCAR race was a little more interesting, I have to say.
That one was pretty good.
I mean, we're talking Brad Keselowski first, Dale Jr. second. Oh, my God, the world is spinning into the sun.
And I love it.
Yes, I do too.
But anyway.
But
Monaco.
F1, that was a pretty fascinating race, I have to say, Jugnuts.
Oh, always. I mean, it's like they say, it's the Grand Prix of Grand Prix. You can't expect anything less from a Monaco circuit or a race, and this one was no exception. Lots of crashes, lots of thrills, lots of penalties. If you're not a Formula One fan, it was a race worth watching.
Lots Absolutely. Of rules issues.
Little yeah. rules issues. One thing first, before we get into that too much, I'm very surprised that the DRS wing system actually worked on the front straight and helping encourage passes. I did not think that was going to be a big enough stretch of road for somebody to adjust their wing and get a speed boost to pass.
Yeah, it definitely was not as helpful or as evident in Monaco as it was in the previous races. It was there and it did aid them in some way, but you didn't see just the people blowing by other people, passing like they were in the previous races. And that just has to do, for the most part, the fact that it's an uphill climb in Monaco where they're allowing the DRS at. And so it's just not as easy to get that speed advantage.
Right. And by the same, actually, I think it was straight before the right turn onto the uphill, because they'd hit the DRS on like the brick straightaway. I guess it might be slightly uphill. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's still slightly uphill.
Okay, yeah. My bad then. And then they'd hit the curves to accelerate up on the uphill section, some more than others. And it was interesting in that regard. And it sort of, I know you were complaining that Monaco can sometimes be a parade slow bird, but
sometimes.
In this case, I think it was definitely not.
Yeah, until the end.
Until the end. Which
because they have a mistake where they accidentally forgot to ban tire changes during red flags.
Yeah, that was kind of a dumb move.
Even the announcers were just like, really? Is this gonna... That just happened!
Yeah. You have guys running on really interesting tire strategies there. I was surprised because I didn't think that Button was going to be able to stay on his tires like he did. I was fully expecting, okay, he's losing time. He has to, pit at some point here, and the sooner the better. And he stays out. And I think I'm remembering, it was Button leading at that point.
Vettel?
No, it was not Vettel leading at the time.
Oh.
When they all got stopped on track?
Yeah.
No, it was... Vettel was leading, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. It was Vettel, and then...
He won stopped, and everyone else pitted
more. Yeah.
Okay, so it was Vettel, okay. I just remember that...
Velveeta.
He was in a bad situation there. That's right. He was in a bad situation because his tires were going out on him real quickly.
Yeah, he had like 45 or 6 laps on a set of super softs, which was unheard of.
I'm surprised they weren't down in the cords.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they credit it to the fact that it's a slow track, and so the forces on those tires aren't as great as you would see at other tracks. But that's still crazy on something they expected to get maybe 10 laps out of. Just was doing 45, 46 laps on those things.
And so you have that interesting narrative where you think there's no reason, but there's no way he can stay out there ahead of those guys. And Button actually on his ass, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there's somebody in front of
Alonso.
Him.
Yeah, Alonso was in.
Yes, second. Right. Alonso basically was in, as they would say in NASCAR, in the catbird seat.
Exactly.
And then the red flag and... Everybody changes tires, and that just ruins the whole goddamn excitement of it.
Yep.
And then it comes the Vettel parade.
Exactly.
The Sebastian Velveeta parade.
That
kid. Sebastian PlayStation Vita parade?
Oh, no. I don't know. That kid has oodles of talent, and it's just...
Yeah, he's pretty good.
It'd be interesting to see how he does if he would ever go to somebody who's not a top team. Not that that would ever happen.
Well, he won a race in the crappy second tier Red Bull team.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It'd be interesting if he kind of pulled a Senna and went to a lesser team in order to try to, to see if he can do okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how much anyone could do that in modern times just because the cars are so different.
I think that only comes around like once in a lifetime, like what happened with Braun GP, and that was just a lucky stroke of manufacturing brilliance.
Yep.
Or engineering brilliance, I should say.
A lot of it's definitely the cars in Formula One. I mean, if you look at Schumi, by all accounts, he should be right up there. And I mean, maybe it's just me, but I hate to believe that really just his couple year hiatus from the sport has really been that detrimental to him. So, you know, I would like to think that it's just the car that he has, but
his teammates have beaten him though.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of it is, yeah, I think unfortunately the car factors into more of it than any driver would like to admit. The only one I've ever heard straight out admit it would be Juan Pablo Montoya, who basically said, based on the car I had, I can only hope to get this far in the field.
That's because he just didn't want to take the blame anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is Juan Pablo Montoya in all fairness, and we kind of did know that stuff already. But by same token, I mean, Schumacher still fights harder than any other driver out there to protect his positions.
Oh, yeah.
That's the point of being like a roadblock.
He's the
Hay4Z of Formula One.
He's the Washington Wizards era Michael Jordan. He's still decent, but he's not as good as he once was when he was amazing, and so we'd all just think about how he used to be, and now it just makes us sad.
That is sadder than and truer than I'd like to admit.
It is, actually.
It's the Dale Jarrett thing, too. Like, oh, I'm a NASCAR champion. Oh, I'm a multiple race winner. Oh, now I'm a backmarker for like 5 straight years.
UPS.
Damn. David Reagan really was an upgrade. Think about that for a minute.
We really are starting to run low on time here, but real quick, Indy 500, we don't need to talk about that too much other than Slowbird, you don't like the track.
I hate the track. I hate the cars. They must do something to make it more exciting, and I don't care what you say. That race was not exciting, except
what
for
what are you
fuel.
Talking about? They got pushed to pass.
Fuel mileage was the only fun part.
Pushed to pass didn't factor in that race. It's always been about speed and momentum around the corners.
I don't like speed and momentum. I like side-by-side, wheel-to-wheel action.
You know, so, they could stand to have boost return instead of push to pass. Yeah, I would be fine with that.
They need, like, 850 horsepower turbocharged V8s.
But when it comes down to it, J.R. Hildebrand made a dumb move trying to pass Charlie Kimball.
It was a rookie mistake.
Somebody should have been in his ear saying, hey, calm down, don't panic, take it easy, this race is yours. And
all
nobody was in his ear saying that.
All of those things are true, but I still hate that track and the current cars.
I still can't believe you said Pocono was more interesting than Indianapolis. That's like an occult sin right there.
One of the turns at Pocono is just like Indy, and the other turns are different, so it's automatically more interesting.
The front straightaway at Pocono takes 2 hours to traverse down towards.
Yeah, they have a tunnel turn, though.
It's 2 hours of front straightaway. Tunnel turn is just a banked turn.
It's not even really that banked.
Ah, man.
Whatever.
Anyways.
I would like to see the IndyCars return to Pocono, though.
I'm not so interested in that. I'd like to see road courses.
Pocono road course?
Sure.
Yay.
Hey, Slowbird. We got one final segment. We got like 4 minutes. You need to introduce this.
Emails.
We actually have one email. I need to answer this really quickly, and then we got a jet. Oh, my God. We're going to leave people hanging.
Oops.
Sparkly Kiss from the forums asks, since last We Are Race Night was very pizza heavy, and it was, what sort of car do you think would be the best for cruising neighborhoods and serving those delicious pies? There's some other stuff in there, but I think that's a key question.
Yeah.
What would be your ideal pizza delivery car?
Lotus 211.
I'd like to say I thought about this, but I didn't.
I just want to see a really crappy compact. I think, God, the tinier the better. Fiat 500.
I beg to differ. You need a big, big car so you can fit more pizzas in there.
So you can toss out all those fine pizza pies?
Yeah,
it's got to be convertible so you don't even have to pull up. You can just fling it at the house as you drive by.
Yeah, I'm thinking you want like a 1970s convertible.
So your guys' thoughts on pizza delivery is a lot like Paperboy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quality is irrelevant. Quantity is important.
Just don't throw the pizzas through the windows.
Still.
That's okay, as long as you get away fast enough.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I just don't want the old man running after you and tackling you, or your
car. Exactly.
I'd like to see him tackle my 1970s convertible.
At the end of the road, there's a stunt course.
Gymkhana.
Gymkhana. At the end, Ken Block greets you and says, hey, bro, great delivery. Now, dude, some mad hooning.
Ghost ride the pizza box.
Oh, God. 3 minutes until race night. We got to end this here. That'll do it. Any final thoughts, gentlemen? Jugnuts, you first.
Want to go to space.
All right. I want to go to space, too. More importantly, I want to go to first place.
Yes. Want to be first.
I want to go back in time to when IndyCars were cool and they were sponsored by Pizza Hut.
All right. Well, I want to go forward in time to the release of Forza 4.
Me, too.
Yes.
October. Let's make it happen, gentlemen.
Let's do it.
Next podcast, October. Go.
Next podcast, October, except it'll be next week.
Oh, yeah, snap into a 4 is a 4.
Snap into a 4 is a 4. And that will do it for We Are Race Night. Oh, my God, we've got to go. For Jugnuts, for Slowbird, I am Seg. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, GiantBombForza@gmail.com is the email address. And we are Race Night.
Suck on that, America.
All right, guys. That was a great job.
That was great.
Seriously, Jugnuts, we got to have you on board.